Hey guys, how are you? Welcome to the podcast Melanin Speaking.
Welcome back.
How have you guys been this week?
So good, actually. It's been a pretty, it's like that good busy though. Like, it is that good busy. I'm not too tired kind of busy, or FML kind of life. What, we don't agree?
No.
We had an opposite week?
No, we didn't have
right. You heard that, right?
My week was just full of ups and downs, I feel like.
Okay.
It started off kind of, but it's ending on a positive note.
Give me that noise again.
Yeah. Got it. That's how I felt.
That's how we communicate when we have no words.
That's the sound of the week. But, you know, I watched the inauguration. So that was like a, that was a peak. I was like, all right, girl.
That was that was the good part of your week?
That was when it started.
Seeing Michelle's outfit was the highlight.
I want that outfit.
What a queen for sure.
I want that outfit.
I instantly, when I saw her, I said, I went to my phone immediately and was like, where can I get this outfit?
You can't.
Like, you, I know. Even if it's like a makeshift kind of outfit, I need this outfit. I mean, she did this one color.
That mod.
Justice. Like,
yeah, she did.
I said, look at this bad bee.
So well. I mean, wasn't it like a red cape situation?
It wasn't quite red. That's why I said
it was
like
a maroon.
It was a maroon.
Yeah, that's
mod was the wrong color.
It
was
maroon. Said maroon.
And then on her skin, on her skin, I mean, just she's already flawless.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then that hair, just the bounce. Y'all.
Okay,
yeah.
Because Michelle went to the beautician and was like, hey, my boy Biden's getting it. Because let's be honest.
Yeah.
That Michelle looked bad at Trump's inauguration. She didn't.
I don't think
I've ever seen a picture of her looking bad. However, the effort was not there.
She said it's going to be a shit show for the so let me go ahead and just roll up.
She threw that hair in a ponytail, put on a regular schmegular outfit, and was like, okay.
Good for you for remembering.
I don't remember, but I give her props because you got to think 4 years and eight years in the White House, she's probably like, I'm over it. I'm done. Get me out of here. Let's go back.
She has so many speeches talking about how she's been over the White House.
Right.
Almost since she got in. She's like, ugh. Politics, gross. Get me out of here.
I mean, I feel like all the women, though, were just popping.
I agree. Lady Gaga looked like she was about to usher in the Hunger Games.
Yes.
I was here.
She looked
I
put amazing. Up the fingers. Her voice was amazing. J-Lo looked great.
Where did that come from, though? Like,
because he said J-Lo.
Yes. No, it was the Let's Get Loud in the middle of two national like anthems of different kinds.
I liked it.
I appreciated the Spanish she threw in, though.
I liked it all because she told Puerto Ricans it's time to get loud. And guess what Puerto Rico did? They were like, hey, you know that money we were supposed to get for our hurricane that Trump said, no, we're not getting? Hey, Biden, can you please let that roll through so we can start rebuilding?
No, is that
it's
what
a
that was?
Signal.
Okay, so maybe because I don't speak any Spanish, I didn't get it. Maybe that was for our Spanish speakers.
It was more so for those people that followed, like, the Puerto Rican, like, whole issue that happened after
because she's Puerto Rican, right?
She is.
Okay.
Yeah, so... That's how I took it. Because then immediately after that, I think it was like a few hours after something, I saw a story about it. And I was just like, oh, so that's probably when she get loud.
Okay.
Let's get loud. Okay.
Because my brain went, let's get loud.
Yes.
Let's get loud. You know, she had a song and that's where I was.
Yes.
No, she used that moment
She
well.
Used that song. Yes. As a singer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it not PC? It's not PC. But
use your platform. If you're singing at an inauguration,
go for it.
Use that fucking platform.
Right. But also, what else, guys? What else happened? Shout out. Oh, sorry. Go for it.
Who we shouting out? Because we might be shouting out the,
the same person.
Well, I was going to shout out AOC, but
I'm
going to let you.
I mean, I was going to shout out the beautiful Amanda Gorman.
Absolutely.
As you should.
Absolutely.
Just stunning. First of all, this girl is stunning.
Yeah.
Second of all, there was a moment where I learned that she has a speech impediment.
Oh, like Biden used to. That's a cute, like, full circle thing. That's cute. I like that.
And she said, like, she kind of prepped for this poem that she read by singing the song Aaron Burr. And I screamed.
Stan.
I screamed.
Stan. I stan a Hamilton fan.
I love it. She said it helped her, like, with, like, some of the words in her poem.
Oh,
and I
nice.
Said, look at this. Look at life. I was just in awe. And just
she looked absolutely gorgeous on a side note.
She did. This yellow, the like yellow.
That's
whoever.
Why we have our background yellow, because.
Yeah. It pops with the
It pops. And I mean, I immediately followed her on her social media.
As she deserves.
Mm-hmm. And again, she was just, she's such a genuine person. She was like on there talking about, my Instagram is broken. Like, I'm getting a lot of love. And I was like, you better.
Yeah.
Because you're amazing. And of course, like, I'm going to buy all her books.
Yeah. Her poem was beautiful.
Yes. Like, her books on Amazon.
I was much more interested in her poem than I was in the actual inauguration speech.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to lie.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Even better than Biden's in my opinion.
And the way she delivered it too, yes. It put passion. It put like what she was saying is how she felt and just letting it go. I loved it.
I just thought that was melanin magic right there. Yeah, a melanin woman speaking. It was just
history in the making.
Yeah. Of yes, this girl is 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, yes, let's do this.
And another shout out to AOC, who was not at the inauguration because she's out here doing the people's work.
Amen.
Always.
Shout out to her. She was doing the Hunts Point strike, which is basically a group of people that have been trying to get just a decent amount of pay.
Wow.
So I think it's just one of those things where progressives are at it again. Yes, we get it. Inauguration is a symbolic moment. But she was just like, I think I'm willing to miss this. So I can go help out people that are in my district.
I mean, that's awesome, though, that she's out there putting in the work.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if everybody else knows this, but, like, that's actually her job.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Photo shoots and going to this inauguration.
That's not important.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That she was doing her actual job, and I appreciate that. Another person that I really appreciated, I don't know if I want to call this woman Iyanla, but I know that's not her name. Iyanna Presley. God.
Okay.
I don't know if she was actually at the inauguration or not, but she put into words exactly how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm over the rhetoric. I'm over your speeches. And I get it. It's his first, few days. So give him time. But I don't care about your lovely long platitudes and how we're gonna make this the soul of the country better. I don't want to hear it.
Don't come for his speech. Joe Biden was litty.
It was a good speech. We're
front and center coming from
it. It was a good. I would say it was a good speech, but I think actions are louder than the words.
Thank you.
So you can throw.
His speech was also necessary.
It was, but again, I'm just like everybody else as a Black person in America. Okay, I'm ready to see what you have to do.
And that's basically what Miss Presley said. Miss Presley went on her lovely Twitter, because I love her on Twitter. She's funny.
Twitter game.
Her AOC, like all the squad, quote unquote, they're pretty hilarious on Twitter. But she was like, like, this is real cute out here, but my new, like, because this entire process has been like, oh, thank God for Black women. They delivered Georgia. They delivered this state. Like, thank God for Black people. Okay, but thank us. But I want policies, boo. Like, I'm over.
I want rights. I want equal rights.
Right. I don't want to hear you thank me.
I want to see it.
Don't thank me.
Stop saying it.
Don't appreciate
Flint's water.
Right.
Okay. So I will say, I agree with everything you're saying, but we do have to realize the inauguration, he ain't going to do policy there. That's a formality.
Understandable.
Thing.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
Okay. So I think absolutely he, and it's so far, I mean, he's done not all, but a lot of what he had put as his platform.
And I appreciate
platform.
It. I think that's just where I'm at in the political discourse.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is
I'm
how
over
I was
the
at.
Show.
This is how I was looking at his speech. I've never seen a president get up on their inauguration speech and say, we're going against white supremacists. We are fighting against white supremacists.
I mean, he got no choice.
Never. When in
honestly.
History. When in history.
But he doesn't have, I mean, okay, so yes, props, sure.
Amazing.
But
do you think it's because of the last
in the
president?
Corner.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Well, yeah, corner. Absolutely. But I'm appreciative of that moment. I was appreciative of that moment.
I get that.
That speech.
Especially
like,
from
this
where
is
we
our
had
shift.
4 years.
This is where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to see in his 4 years. And I'm excited for it.
Well, that's something I definitely can't take away from Biden. Like, you can say whatever you want about him. No, he's not the perfect candidate. And I doubt he'll be the perfect president.
Right.
But he does genuinely care about the people, and he genuinely cares about helping, you know. So I can give him that. He actually does care. Like, I believe that he, you know, believes what he wrote in the inauguration speech. I believe that wholeheartedly. I'm just over your speech in general. Anybody's speech in general, I want it in policies. Pass a bill.
And let's see it. Let's see it in action.
Yeah. I think we're going to get there.
Hopefully.
Mm. If not, I'm going to say shout out to my chairman, Bernie Sanders.
I was like, where is that going?
Sorry. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I promise.
We'll love Bernie to the day either he or us die.
Yes.
And
honestly,
even after.
Yeah. You guys, it's February 1st.
What up, what up?
Yes.
And we're not thinking about Valentine's Day. No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. Okay.
Okay. Chelsea, Natalia, Renisha is not thinking about Valentine's Day. However, Jordan. However, it is Black History Month.
Yay, yay.
So we wanted to go ahead, because it's Black History Month, go ahead and acknowledge at least two people that we feel have expired or just like really caught our attention this month, and just talk about them. So I know this episode, Natalia and Chelsea has one, and then next episode, Jordan and I will have our
moment.
And then we'll be like posting additional ones onto our Facebook, Insta, and Twitters. Just keeping you guys aware that not only was Black history been made in the past and things that our forefathers and ancestors did, but we're also currently still in a Black history moment. We are still doing things first in things every day. So we'll be spotlighting.
History has its eyes on you.
Okay, Hamilton.
Right.
We but, have to throw Hamilton in at some point. Always.
Every episode. We need a line.
75% of this group loves Hamilton.
And she means that by Jordan is not.
But I bet again, she knows
right,
the words.
She knows the words.
Because
so.
Y'all listen to it religiously.
Okay, well.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
She's been bullied into liking it. It is what it is. Don't do that.
And my mother, shout out. I guess Hamilton is good.
Alexander Hamilton had a tour de fair.
All right, today's sponsor is Blue Herbal Goddess. Shout out to Miss Nicole for being our very first sponsor. We appreciate her immensely. For all of your crystal, chakra, and tarot card reading needs, she also does Reiki healing as well. 1573 Fort Campbell Boulevard. Go and check out Miss Nicole's store. It is absolutely amazing. I got my chakras read, and apparently I got some work to do on myself, y'all. But she is absolutely amazing. So go over there and visit Miss Nicole. Once again, it is 1573 Fort Campbell Boulevard. Blue Herbal Goddess, thank you so much.
So I had a lot of ideas when it came to picking somebody. And I was like, oh, I should do, you know, somebody that made a huge impact on everything, right? Somebody that we know we were raised learning about. But then I started thinking about it and I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to do somebody that literally I look up to, and that is Dr. Cornel West. And if you don't know him, you need to Google him, because this man can speak. He is definitely a progressive. He calls himself basically a non-Marxist socialist, because he is very religious. He doesn't see that Marxism and Christianity can like
coexist.
Yes. Yeah. But he does very much follow those principles. So if you don't know him, I'm gonna give you like a little bio of him. So Dr. Cornel. So it's Cornel Ronald West. Mm-hmm. He's American philosopher, political activist, social critic, author, and public intellectual. He focuses basically on the role of race, gender, and class in American society. And he's also like most people will always label him as like the radical person. But he is a little bit radical, because his thoughts are like, you know, progressive socialism and stuff.
He's,
but he's
only radical in the United States of America.
See,
yes. Well, I wouldn't say only, because of like Europe, okay, yeah, but I'll then also at, like in
other
Asian
countries, yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, okay, okay,
but yeah, but for our politics, most definitely, he is super, super vocal about neoliberalism, right? So what we have already known as our current Democratic Party, he is super hard on them. He is super critical on the Obama administration. Because his thing, when he wrote about his books, or wrote about his books, when he wrote in his books, one of the things that I took away from him was that, yes, we do have to realize that race matters, that democracy matters, but we also have to realize those faces that we put there in these places, they have to bring us with them. So he's very much on that. So I'm going to take a quote from his, because in the summer while we were out protesting for George Floyd and for Black Lives Matter, this is what he said. And it literally just took me, like, okay, what's wrong? He said, "We tried black faces in high places and it didn't work. It's because the system cannot reform itself. Black Lives Matter movement emerged under a black president, a black attorney general, and a black homeland security. And they couldn't even deliver for the Black Lives Matter movement."
Wow.
Yes. So this That's strong. Man speaks his everything.
I'm not going to lie, I do love Cornel West, Dr. Cornel West. I'm sorry, put some respect on his name.
He earned that.
He earned it. But I've always really enjoyed his speeches and hearing him talk political talk. Because to me, he was one of the few commentators, especially black commentators, who were like, actually, this is where Obama messed up. And I feel like a lot of black people were just like, he's a black president, shut your mouth. Yep. Like, he's perfect. And it's like, okay, he didn't give you like crazy scandals, but there's always room for improvement. And I think that sometimes where black people get a little insular and be like, actually, this is my baby and I need to protect it and nobody can say anything bad. And it's like,
yeah.
How are we supposed to grow and get better if we can't critique?
Exactly. And I think it's important to note that it's also based on your beliefs, right? So I may think that Obama didn't do enough because my beliefs and my values are more progressive. Whereas a moderate is like, oh, he did more than I even thought he could have. And that's where we come through like that whole, you know. Anyway, but that's not what this podcast is about.
Nope.
So I'm going to end you with this quote. And this is hands down one of my favorite quotes of his ever. And I'm probably going to get it tattooed on my body because it's that bad.
Right. Oh, wow.
No, maybe not. That's a little excessive. But I do like it. You can't lead the people if you don't love the people. You can't save the people if you don't serve the people. If you don't serve the people.
That's a long talk about living your Christian pop, like your Christianity publicly. That's a beautiful thing.
I love it, and do it in a way that helps everyone and not just somebody that sees what you see.
I agree. That's a beautiful thing.
So that's my guy.
I like it. Thank you.
So mine is probably a little less known. I think she's becoming more popular now because Chadwick Boseman played in one of the movies that was like one of the last movies that he did before he passed away. So everybody went to rest go see power. It. Yes, rest in power. T'Challa forever. But my person that I decided to discuss is Ma Rainey. Many people don't know outside of like my immediate friend group. Chelsea is a big fan of like blues, R&B, jazz, like depressing stuff, send it my way. I love it. The metric is so beautiful. But Ma Rainey is known as the mother of the blues. She was born on April 26, 1886 in Columbus, Georgia. And she was one of the first kind of big black performers. She had been performing since she was 14, and she started off in a minstrel show, actually, with her husband, Pa Rainey. And they traveled, you know, the country as part of a minstrel act. But in 1923, she recorded at Paramount. And in the 5 years she would sign with them, she recorded 92 songs. And that's kind of where she started to blow up. And then she kind of became a solo act. And Mama was a go-getter. Mama lived her life fully. Mm-hmm. She was a very out and proud bisexual woman, which I was like, girl, it is the 1920s. You might want to slip back into the closet for your own safety, but she did not care. And, you know, we love a queen who stays true to herself.
Yeah, it's powerful.
So she toured for years and then retired to her hometown in 1935, where she lived until her passing of December 22nd, 1939. In that hometown, she was the owner of three different theaters, which was really big back then for a black woman to be owning that many businesses, for sure. And then in 1983, she was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted her in 1990. So this is kind of where her popularity started to come back up. In 1994, she had a postage stamp. In 2007, they opened a museum in her mother's home, which is the home she built for her, and that's the home she passed in. And then, of course, she just had the movie that just came out on Netflix that featured my queen, Viola Davis. Bow Down. Hey. And the movie was, if you haven't checked it out, I would. It's pretty good, but also do a little more research. She was known for songs like Don't Trust No Man, Papa's Blues, stuff like that. So she really was an entrepreneur. She was a self-starter and self-made woman, and she didn't take no shit from nobody.
Now, I would say after the Netflix series came out and just, like, playing her music, I would say we have nothing to say about the women now.
Are you going to drop a line?
Oh, no. I would say at that point, I'll be like, oh, my virgin ears. Will be kind of, but it's, I would definitely listen to it in my, because I love a good, okay. However, baby girl was villain.
You know, that's one of the things that I do love about that era of music, and even slightly later, like the 1960s, 70s music, is like, yeah, they were talking about some pretty gross things, some pretty, like, you know, frisky things, but it was so, like, covert, and it was so undercover and wrapped in so many, like,
there was nothing undercover about this woman's,
I mean,
music.
Okay, for some of Ma's music, yes, but there was other musics that other songs that definitely were more covert and definitely more covered in innuendos. Ma Rainey isn't necessarily one of those people,
okay,
but that's because she lived her life, like,
she lived it freely. She wasn't gonna I love it, though. I appreciated her. I said, okay, I see you, sis.
Yeah.
I love it.
She spoke her mind. She cussed a man out. She don't care. She was living her best life.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Awesome. Okay, so let's move on to our main topic of the day, which is self-worth, and the importance of it, our experiences with not having it, with having it, and just talking about it. And I know Chelsea had the definition, so let's get into that.
Yeah, so the definition of self-worth is an individual's evaluation of oneself as a valuable, capable human being deserving of respect, consideration, and love. So that is the,
I like it,
the actual definition.
Where would life be without that fundamental thing?
I can think of a place that I'd be without self-worth, and I'd be back in Chicago in the same dead-end relationship. And my job wasn't really bad. I actually enjoyed my job, but the relationship was really bad. And so if I didn't find my self-worth, I would still be there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I also have to agree with you on that. When it came to my self-worth, if I didn't have any, I'll be real honest, I would be dead. Like, I would not be here. I would be in the old relationship, going in and out of using again, and I would have probably OD'd and been, that's it. So, this is a very important topic.
Well, I'm very happy you found some self-worth, because What would our life be without
Nathalia? What would I be without my Nathalia?
I don't know. My mom basically wants to adopt you, so.
Really?
Yeah. She loves you.
Ew.
Okay. Yeah, the importance of self-worth is invaluable. I feel like there's, you can't do anything. You can't choose relationships well enough because you're like, I don't really matter that much. I don't really know what I want. I don't really know what I need. I don't know how to treat myself well. I don't know how to speak from my heart or speak my feelings well enough because I don't think that I'm good enough to do those things. Like, all of it, it just hinders you from being truly you. And I've had a lot of experiences, and we're going to get into that. But that's...
I think it's, like, more of people don't know how to be self-worthy of themselves or don't know anything about that. You know, I think... I think it's just more of like, for me, I don't have any like relationship self-worthy. Mm-hmm. It's just me comparing myself to other individuals my age. Like, for example, you know, graduated high school and you got some of these like girls who were the popular girls and you look at them now and they're still kind of striving and you're like, damn, what am I doing? I always ask that self my question and also think about it as, like, how do you teach that? How do you teach self-worth?
By asking, because I literally just want to ask you this question.
Okay.
I was thinking, how does that benefit you? How does comparing yourself to that person benefit you?
And you know what? It doesn't in the long run. And as I grow up, as I mature, I think about that. But I still have that, like, little, damn, kind of feeling.
I think that's a social media thing.
Yeah, and that's why I sound kind of like shady or like ugh kind of person when I be like, and I delete that person off my social media so I don't have to see their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing on them and what they're doing because they're living their best life. But I don't know every single thing that they're doing.
Yeah, you don't understand, like, they are also going through it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've had a person come up to me saying, oh my God, your life looks so amazing, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, really? I can't, when people say that to me, I literally look at them crazy, be like, are we looking at the same person?
But I feel like the people that you look at and you're like, oh my God, their life looks so perfect, if you said that to them, they'd have the same reaction.
Exactly. And I'm learning that
we put social media and what we consume of other people's lives, especially if you're not talking to that person, that is a highlight reel, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
And most people, exactly, most people aren't gonna be like, you know what, I'm really fighting through some depression right now. Like, a lot of people aren't gonna do that. There are some, I'm not saying that there aren't, obviously there are some, to every rule there is an outlier, right? But majority, it's like, oh, I'm smiling, but last night you cried yourself to sleep over a box of Oreos.
but we're not
posting that.
It's the random crying.
Yeah,
you know, I've done that several times. I guess that's why when I tell you guys, I can't be alone in my thoughts, because if there's nothing playing, like no TV, no music, and I'm just, my thoughts go, they go a million miles far, and then I'm just crying out of nowhere, and I'm like, I'll wipe my tears as I'm doing it, and I'm like, what's wrong with you, girl? What's happening? What happened?
So I have a thing. We say, oh, okay, well, let me just delete this person so I don't have to see him anymore. Da, 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 da. I think yes, but also you can't always just take these things out of your life. You need to deal with them.
Exactly.
So I think one of the positive things to do on that is, okay, so you see this person, you see their life, and you're envious of it. What about it?
I should be happy for them.
No. I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying, what about it? Okay. So then you make a goal.
Right. Yeah.
So how can I be closer to what I think they're feeling? Right. Mm-hmm. So because you obviously see that as an achievable goal that you just haven't gotten there yet. Mm-hmm. So I always think like, okay, because I'm the same way. I will look at somebody's life. I'm like, how can I get there? I should be there. And then I get into that like reel of like putting myself down. And I've learned that if I'm doing that to somebody's life looking like inside, outside in, that I can look at their life and set personal goals for that. Mm-hmm. Because that gives me ideas on what I want to do, what I think my growth should be. So, I mean, even, so don't always turn yourself off to it.
Yeah. I think you're talking about like flipping the script and really making it work for you. and pinpointing the things that are making you feel bad. And instead of saying, well, I don't have that, I don't have that. Well, mm-hmm. How can I get there? Just changing your mindset, changing your perspective. And not, like, ignoring it, not, like, putting it to the side and, like.
Because that's what I do.
If I was in your position, Renisha, like you were saying, and you were like, I'm crying, I don't know why, I would literally embrace that shit. I would write it down and be like, okay, so what's going on?
Mm-hmm. And I would write it down. But that's a lot of work. Because mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you.
I need somebody in the room.
3 years ago, like, I was not a person who would sit well with my thoughts and my feelings. Mm-hmm. But moving and not having friends when I got here, you know, there was at least a good 9 months that I really wasn't friends with anybody. Yeah. And I would go to work, go home, go to work, go mm-hmm. home. And I'd sit alone.
Isolation, baby.
Ew.
Where that growth happens.
Man, and it was a lot of silently crying, mm-hmm. you know, not wanting to, mm-hmm. you know, upset anybody that I was living with. I didn't want to upset my mom or anything like that. But it was just muffled tears of mm-hmm. like, okay, working through it. And it's rough. It is not a pretty, like, growing and finding your self-worth. Like, that is not a pretty process. That's like, the outcome not. Might be cute. But the trail to get, right, we hope. But the trail to get there is rough. And, like, I'm still on that path, you Absolutely. Know.
For sure.
There are things that I definitely can improve on in my self-worth. I'm slowly getting there. But, you know, that road is rough. And it's very difficult to sit with yourself in your own thoughts.
And I think that's kind of why we're seeing a lot more of these, like, initiatives for taking care of yourself, self-care. Because in 2020, guess what, baby? You were going to do a bunch of things. No, you're not anymore. You're staying home.
And that quarantine really hit you. Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people quarantined by themselves, which left them, what, alone with their thoughts.
I think when we first quarantined, I sat in my room for the first couple of weeks, really, and was just like, okay,
I'm thriving, bitch. I was doing whatever.
No, I was more of like
naps.
You and these naps.
Introverts be like.
But coming from where you've worked almost all day, every day, mm-hmm. to doing nothing, mm-hmm. I'm like sitting in my bedroom like, okay, what am I supposed to do? What can I do? Mm-hmm. And then you see other people just making the little things big. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ugh, why didn't I think of that? Or, you know, well, what am I doing mm-hmm. still? So I think for me, it's still like learning stop. I do compare myself to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of like their beauty. It's like you said, I do want to be where they are. I do want to be wealthy in life, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's everybody, but it's more of I'm 25 going on 26 and I feel like the girl I graduated with is already like in the career position that I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of, well, if I were to go back in time, what would I change? And honestly, I have like 1,000 things, but like mm-hmm. it should be more of why can't I just grow from that? And again, I'm learning.
You cannot go back, baby.
I know. I as much as I want somebody to build a time machine, I will pay whatever you're paying or asking for. But I definitely want to take it as like things I want to teach other people, mm-hmm. and especially if I do decide to have like kids, like whatever in the future, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that like my little girl, my little boy, or whomever is gonna feel worthy of themselves. Like they're never gonna have a self-doubt in themselves. I know I can't change their outside world,
mm-hmm.
but I just do want to make sure that that person can come to me and be like, hey, I'm feeling this type of way, mm-hmm. and I just be like, okay, that's fine, I'm here for you,
and build that inner voice in their head,
yes,
starting young, because that's where it all develops. Mm-hmm. So starting young with them, I think would be absolutely amazing. That's why I'm looking forward to raising children.
Yeah, giving them a solid foundation.
I'll send my kids to you if I got them.
If I happen to have kids, we're sending them to Jordan.
Right. You are deserving of love. Don't worry about it. I would love that.
Knowing Jordan now, mm-hmm. and the things you say to me, I just be like, man, really? Jordan does have me going home and be like, okay, all right, well, let me go ahead and sit down and try it. Then I try it. I'm like, oh, snap. Where Jordan is she to talk me out? Things. She does. I'm happy for it. Because before I met you, I'm still of the like, okay, I can be better. I should be like this person.
Whereas, you're doing absolutely amazing. I look up to you.
See, and I'm still, it's so weird. I'm trying to understand that. I'm like, why? But I always think about the negative.
And right. That's where I started.
I
love it.
I have a list.
When I started to realize the issues I had with my self-worth, I wrote down everything, mm-hmm. every single thing. And I also was, through my whole spiritual journey or whatever, I found so many videos where they're like, well, why don't you write down your positives? Don't you have positives? And mm-hmm. haven't you come so far? And haven't you grown so far? And haven't you done so much to get where you are? And it makes you really appreciative of your qualities, your amazing qualities, because mm-hmm. we have a tendency to remind ourselves, okay, yeah, I am shit. Maybe I need to lose a few more pounds. Maybe I, like, all of the things that beat mm-hmm. yourself down.
Yeah.
And it does not help you in any way, shape, or form. It is not helping you grow. It's not helping you achieve. It's not helping you move on. It's bringing you down.
Yeah.
And you want the best for you. God wants the best for you. So why are you sitting in this? Mm. Move on.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I totally, 100%. Everything you said, 100%.
Agree. I can agree to mm-hmm. it.
I think one of the things that shook me the most, I was like talking to my best friend about all of my very bad attributes, right? And I was like, I'm like this, and I need to lose weight, and I'm ugly. I was like full boohoo mode. Mm-hmm. And she was like, shut up. Why do you act like you are the most unlovable person on this planet? I mean, you know, she's from Chicago, so she doesn't hold her tongue very well. But, and I mean, it was tough love, but she was like, why do you act like you're unlovable? Why do you act like you are the bane of existence? Like, you are the Antichrist, like, personified. She was like, you're not. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't realize that I had gotten into this mantra of self-deprecation. Mm-hmm. And not like in the ha-ha funny way where it's like, oh, I'm just joking. But it was real, and those mm-hmm. were things that I might have said it in a joking tone, but mm-hmm. those were things that I really felt about myself. Mm-hmm. And she was like, stop with that shit. Like, it's not funny, mm-hmm. and you're not that person, so why do you keep saying it as if that's who you are? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was like,
we all need that one friend.
Yeah,
that's really. What I was just about yeah. to say.
I mean, there was yeah. a lot more curse words thrown in there, but sometimes you need it. Spice up the sentence, yeah. you know? But, you know, that made me think, and I was like, okay, you're right. Like, you know, there are plenty of people who love me for me in all of my many facets, because mm-hmm. there are a lot.
Yeah.
But they care about me and they value my opinion. And, you know, because that was another thing. I think I attributed love to self, like martyrdom. Mm-hmm. So I'll take abuse. I'll take, mm-hmm. you know, verbal abuse, mm-hmm. being talked down to. You know, that's, and I was just like, oh, it's fine. And I would just shrug it off. Like, it's fine. And it took for outside forces to be like, you do not deserve to be talked to that way.
No, ma'am.
Like, literally. Why do you allow people to do this? And my biggest thing was, and I still sometimes fall into this, of, you can hurt me. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
But don't hurt the people around me.
Yeah. And you've said that recently.
I fall back into it because that's, you know, to a certain extent, that is how I feel. Like, mm-hmm. you can say whatever. You can call me the ugliest person. You can say that I have a shit personality, whatever. But don't come after my babies.
Right.
Don't come after my loved ones, and don't come after my friends. Those people, I will put on any armor and go 110%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for myself, it was just like, yeah, whatever, dude. I don't care.
And you're a person, like, meeting you, I definitely value your opinion. When definitely, I don't think I've ever met someone like Chelsea just to give me that word of wisdom, or like you said, that friend to you to be like, girl, please. You definitely give me that vibe, and I appreciate it.
And you see people so well, like, and when I meet,
look at her awkward face. You guys can't see it, but she's just like, okay, stop complimenting me now.
I have a hard time taking compliments.
Taking compliments, yes.
It is not one of my
Why is taking compliments so hard?
I feel like a lot of people struggle with this.
Oh, yeah.
Why, though?
Why? Because I don't think we like to hear that we're doing well. I think we're so used to hearing in our own heads that we're just not doing good. We're so used to hating on ourselves that when people show us love, we're like, oh, is that really what I'm like? Okay.
Right.
That's how I am.
But why don't you start practicing being that person complimenting you all the time?
And I think that's one of the things that it comes with time and with growth, because I would have, if somebody didn't tell me, write down your positive, like, aspirations and attributes and all that stuff, like, write down that stuff that's going to help you when you're not feeling good about yourself. Yeah. If somebody didn't tell me to do that, I would never think to do that, because I'm the same mindset as Chelsea. I will always put somebody else's everything in front of my own. So that being said, I would have never thought to put time and work and effort into my own being.
No.
Because that's not my first priority as a person. And I think that's where the self-worth comes from.
Yes.
Because we have to learn to do that. But, I mean,
it's practice.
It is. The biggest thing. Okay, so a little bit tidbit story about me. I was in an abusive relationship, and I was in active addiction for 4 years. So I was using pills. I was using heroin. I was getting beat. I was beating. It was just a mess of a story. And I was 18 to 22. So basically throughout my whole college, honestly, don't know how I passed college. I actually did pretty good.
She did. Better than me.
Right. And I thought for a long time I had it under control, where most people wouldn't be able to see my struggle because I'm not going to let you see that. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of like tough face I always had. But it was once I went to rehab, and then I moved. I went to Germany, and I was forced to take myself out of a situation that I knew I couldn't grow in. And then that's when I met people, shout out to my Germany crew, that literally would stop me and be like, wait, why are you making all these mean jokes about yourself? Is that really what you think? Hold on. Every mean thing you say, I'm going to say something nice. Every negative thing you think about yourself, tell me, I'm going to say the opposite. And I had that support in that family, and they could see it. And that's where I saw my, you know, self-worth grow, was because finally I couldn't see it for myself, so somebody had to tell me, and had to tell me consistently and a lot and over and over, because I'm stubborn. And I would be like, whatever, you're just being nice, you're just feeding me, it's fine. Like, I'll do that because that was my comfort zone. But yeah, it's just taking the time to make those relationships that are positive to really instill into me that, no, I am worth something to somebody.
Yeah.
So.
And to give yourself more credit, you can't attract what you aren't. And that's a weird way to say it. But, like, if you didn't already have that feeling within you that you needed someone to, say, get you out of this moment within, like, you can't attract that positive family if you don't already have that voice within you, you know? So it wasn't an external force, it was you growing. You know?
Right. It get that awkward cool. And no, and we're definitely we're definitely listening. It's just accepting it.
You have to accept it.
And that is the hard part, especially when you've spent years
in that negative space,
the opposite. Like, one nice word ain't gonna shake that, because it's like, no, like, after a certain point you do somewhat get invested in being the underdog. You get invested in it, and it's like, this is my position, and so I'll play this position. And that's why you tend to attract other friends that are semi-abusive or also think low of themselves. You attract partners that will feed your...
I could fix them.
Ooh.
You just dropped this right into relationships.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It was like a key trigger word. Fix them.
No. Let's get a fixer-upper.
This is not HGTV.
I'm not gonna lie. Pre-moving to Tennessee, Mama loved me a fixer-upper. I wanted to heal you. And I think that was part of that.
I wanted to heal you.
No, for real. I think that was part of that, like, love in my brain was self-martyrdom. Like, mm-hmm. I will sacrifice myself at the stake mm-hmm. if that means that you come out better. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Absolutely.
And that's a really dangerous place to be in.
I feel like I've been on the receiving end of people like you.
Trying to fix you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never heard that side before.
Me either.
I'm always hearing the woman or
tell
whomever.
Me about it.
Yes.
Well, I was dating women.
Okay.
So
okay.
Like, maybe that plays into it.
I think it does.
They wanted me to like succeed. They like were trying to like get me to be more practical and realistic and understand my feelings. And like they kept pushing, like, mm-hmm. "Hey, like get this, like understand this." And I was like asleep. I was like, "Look, I'm high. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Look at my face." And I was like distant and like not attentive because I wasn't attentive to myself and like all of the toxicity that you could have.
Mm.
But I did run into people who wanted to fix me and they put a lot of time and energy and they got disappointed because I wasn't ready.
I love it. I wasn't ready. So you're going to walk away really pissed off at the end of this.
Yeah. Did you have those experiences?
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Where it was, so little backstory. I was dating a guy. He wasn't physically abusive, but his words cut like knives.
Still abuse.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And I think in a certain way, it's a harder to identify abuse because there's no scars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
And the scars to me live in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so he won't call himself an alcoholic. And I'm not qualified to call him an alcoholic.
Right.
But homeboy was an alcoholic.
Say it like it is.
But the facts
it is
are.
What it is.
Addict, addict.
I mean,
I get it.
If you're going through a fifth of vodka nightly, that's a little alcoholic, you know.
You're still alive?
Huh. Oh, he's alive and I don't know if he's alive and well, but he's alive. He's alive. He's but yeah. And I definitely was the person. You know, he had gotten to a really bad accident. So, you know, I was like, move in with me and I'll help you.
Oh, yeah.
And so
that moving in stuff.
I became nurse and, you know, actually helping heal physical wounds. And I like to say that our relationship started with trauma bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept getting more traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
And so
which reinforces that bond.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to shout out to my sister because she wasn't with the shit day one. She was like, nope. And I was like, no, I can make this better.
But we never listen to that person.
Yeah, no, right. Renisha knows. Renisha knows.
We don't listen to that person at all. And so he was drinking a lot. Which in turn, because he was at my house, ended up with me drinking a lot. And like, if I'm gonna do a drug, I am going to do marijuana. I'm gonna do weed.
Mm-hmm.
And that became my numbing agent.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be cursing me out to the high heavens. I'm the devil. I'm, you know, a bitch. I'm all of these things. And I'd be like, yeah. So I'm gonna go in my room. I'm gonna roll a fat ass blunt.
Hey.
And you're gonna basically go into the background and I can zone out and I don't have to be here and I don't have to deal with this. And that became my repetition.
Your safe space. Over
time. Yeah. My safe space was literally high as a kite.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was just the truth of the matter. And you know, I tell my mother this, but she saved my life when she was like, hey, I really think I want to move to Tennessee. And at that time, I was moving out of my condo. I knew I couldn't afford the condo anymore, so I was moving out. And I was like, okay, I don't really know where I'm going to go. I could have moved in with my sister. I had some options. He wanted us to get a place together. And I just felt like in the back of my mind, this was my out.
Mm-hmm.
And when she brought it to me, I was like, cool, when do we move?
Yeah.
2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm out. And I literally just dropped everything because if I didn't have that small brief sunshine, mm-hmm. I would have been stuck. Yeah. And it's crazy because even when I moved down here, you know, soul ties are hard to break. So me and him still talked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get that.
And what made me completely cut it off was he was like, if you were here, that you'd still be with me. Like, you'll always be mine. And I was just like, but the problem was, in the back of my head, I knew he was right. Mm-hmm. I knew. I was like, oof, okay, you're 100% right. Let me show you how much I've changed. Don't call me, don't text me, don't. And block, 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 block. And that kind of became my, like, literally moving here was my saving grace. It mm-hmm. allowed me to collect myself, get myself together.
And you had the isolation period.
And I had that isolation period. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I came out better because another thing that I did, I cut myself off from a lot of family. Not actually, but I would just show up to events a little less. Mm-hmm. You know, because my family, we lived 15 minutes my entire life. Everybody lived like 5-10 minutes away from each other. So we were very close knit. So, you know, having a whole bunch of cousins at your house was nothing. That was just daily, basically, mm-hmm. definitely every weekend. And so I just stopped showing up to those things because I was carrying a lot of shame, because how do you let yourself get here? It's not like, you know, when you think of being in an abusive relationship, in my brain, I wasn't the stereotype. Mm-hmm. I didn't come from an abusive family. Mm-hmm. My family is very loving. My family is very supportive, caring. How do you fall into that? How do you get to the point where you're like, that's where, like, you ain't set up. You didn't learn this. This isn't learned behavior. Mm-hmm. And so I felt very shameful that here I am dealing with this, and that's embarrassing.
I mean, you're only human. I think that's the literal answer to that.
Well, that was my shame. It's not mm-hmm. like my family was like, Kelsey, how did you get into this? Like, no, yeah. But it was like, how the hell did I get here?
Yeah. It's a live and learn experience.
Oh, 100%.
I think so. And I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Like, we have to be this strong woman. We have to be able to do everything and anything 10 times better than anybody else, because I was raised well. I know what I can't do. I know I am smart. And we yep. have those little things in the back of our head that we know we're supposed to have. So then when they don't happen, and instances like this happen, it's literally 1,000 times worse, because it's yeah. not somebody telling you these things. It's you telling yourself. You let yourself down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it was. It was like, I know I'm better than this situation. Mm-hmm. And yet here I go back to this situation every night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so that was mine, definitely came through relationships and how I started the self-worth journey and the self-love journey mm-hmm. is I had to change my definition of love. Mm-hmm. And I had to change how that looked in my brain. Like, mm-hmm. love for me is no longer being a martyr. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to find boundaries and then keep them.
And then keep them.
Yes.
And then keeping them.
And ugh. Again, writing them down.
Yes.
That definitely down, helps. Reminding you yes. of them. Because it does. You go to a point where you're like, you know, I think everybody bends a little bit. Mm-hmm. And having them written down makes you go, okay, no, this was in the definitely not pile, which means yeah. we don't bend here.
Yeah. 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 Set up a contract. That's with my yourself. Biggest thing.
Yeah, for
not
sure.
even just yes. with myself, but with other people. Because I'm the type of person where no matter what kind of relationship we have, it could be with my mom, it could be with my dad, it could be with my friends, it could be with my dog, it could yes. be with my cat. I have to set up, like, boundaries because I have not.
I
like,
love
I'm,
my dog.
My dog.
Yeah. I also, I,
like. My bitch got to sleep in her bed sometimes.
Literally.
I need room.
Don't sleep in my bed.
She's got a hot breath.
don't come for my
baby. But I love how you said contract. I've literally wrote down in my notes, marry yourself. That contract, marry yourself, write down how you want to be treated, vows, make vows to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I found that really powerful to do. So, give that a shot.
Yes, I do like that. Also, like that. It's work, because I can say all this and I'm still working through it.
Amen.
When did your self-worth journey start? Like, when you were consciously
aware of it?
Yeah.
last year.
See? Give yourself time.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
Chelsea, maybe. How about you?
When I became aware of it, I would say maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, that I really became aware of, like, I need to stop crying and start doing some actual
work. But I see it in you. Even when we have, like, any conflicts or anything, I can see you working through it.
Oh, yeah, no, I have to. So I have FOMO sometimes real bad, right?
What's FOMO?
What's FOMO?
Fear of missing out.
Oh.
And being excluded from a group.
Never heard it like that.
Yeah.
And I have that.
Hashtag FOMO.
Self-diagnosed FOMO. but I have this thing where I get like, oh my God, my friends really don't like me. Like those types of things.
Yeah.
And I have to check myself even within our group sometimes mm-hmm. where like, you know, y'all be like, Chelsea, you just missed it on the chat. We talked about this. And I'd be like, oh yeah, okay. But it's that self-conscious of like,
yeah.
Oh, they really don't like me. They're not really my friend. Like, and I have yeah. those moments and I have to rationalize with myself.
Yeah.
And that's what I started doing. Like, look over everything first.
Yeah.
Like, calm down. These are actually your friends. They do yeah. care about you. You love them. They love you. It's don't take it like that.
I think for me, for when it comes to self-worth for friendship,
yeah.
I learned that a long time ago. As a kid who was in the military, got moved around a lot, but also hey. I was military. Also I was bullied. Mm-hmm. I remember at one point I was named BBW by another black girl, but I was also trying to fit into that group who Ooh. Who was not really a good group for me, mm-hmm. but I just wanted to be a part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
But like growing up now. And I can say this, I do not care what other people think about me mm-hmm. friendship-wise. I think having too many friends is some mental ugh for
oh,
me.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm
I
saying?
Get that.
And when people come up to I get people when I like start a job, they'd be like, oh, the first time I met you, I thought you weren't going to like me. I thought you, you know, this, this, and this. I'm like, girl, I was not tending to you.
Right.
I wasn't. I was just doing me. And living my best life.
I'm not gonna lie. When I first met Renisha, I was like, oh, this bitch is gonna be my friend. Like, I knew it instantly. I was like, oh yeah, she gives me good vibes.
But I don't get that from everybody. They're like, ugh, I knew you were gonna hate me.
Why are you so mean?
Okay.
But I appreciate the mean face because I got a mean mug too. Like,
And you know, okay, so.
That's just her face. Don't let her
thank
you.
Thank you. But no, I think I've, for self-worth friendship-wise, mm-hmm. I've learned that. Coming out of high school, no, in the middle of high school,
okay.
I definitely learned that. Now, self for me, it's the self body wise. Mm-hmm. I definitely am still learning, but I am more comfortable with myself than I was years ago.
I can see that.
I'm
you.
On step one of that whole body thing.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't get me wrong, I love working out.
Yeah.
I'll bring any.
I know.
She's trying to get us on this train.
They definitely hate me when I want to go on long hikes or
no,
if I.
That's
I could
not true.
Do a hike,
okay.
but like in a gym with like people looking at me.
See, and like, see, okay, I used to be that. I used to be, because you'll watch the other girls, you know, yeah. got these cute shorts on.
Bye-bye.
They can go with the sports bra. But then I'm like, that's not what I'm trying to look like. You know,
also, they ain't doing shit.
They're not doing
anything.
They're
going in there to do squats from boys and then leave.
Exactly. So I don't mind going in a gym and you got two bodybuilder men or women next to me. I'm going to be right there with my 10 dumbbell and
yeah.
not getting out because I like working out because it makes me feel better.
Mm.
It makes me stronger mm-hmm. because when I'm like randomly aggressive or you know how. Well, you don't know how, but like I'll be like, I'll fight you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not a fighter.
Don't let her play her. She is
only for those who I love. I mean,
Crazy.
if I gotta bring out the boxing gloves, I will. However, I go to the gym for me, and I've also gotten better at it of posting my body on social mm-hmm. media. There's be a time where I hated my smile, you know, because my gums are larger than a normal person would, but. That's just me. I've gotten to the point where I'm comfortable with like smiling. It may not look it that I don't smile because I do love the Tyra Banks America Next Top Model smile. Thank you. But I will post a whole body pic on Instagram with no hesitation now. Because I am me and I'm going to do me.
And I'm going to be honest with you, girl. Like, you are definitely body goals for me.
Thank you.
Because, and not just like how you actually look, right? But the fact that you go to the gym and like it.
enjoy it.
Right. And I'm not going to say, like, you being in that mindset attracted me. And now I can say that the reason I go to the gym still with you isn't just to get fit, but also because you showed me that it does make me feel better.
It's fun, too.
It is helping with that body dysmorphia.
Thank you.
Not her inspiration. Come on, girls. Just a few more.
We deal with that.
Okay. You don't shut up. I will attack. I will use the little strength I have left.
We have one more round. It's okay.
And I promise you, I'm heavy breathing with y'all.
She is, though. I'll give you that.
But I love it.
I will. She did that to me on our first, like, long hike. And
it was a hill. I think this one was, like, the longest one.
It was the longest one, and it had the steepest hills.
Yeah.
And that hike back up, I felt like I was gonna die. And Renisha was just, come on, ladies, just a few more. And I was like, I know she's trying to help me, but I want to attack her right now. I was so irritated with her happy.
I do it because I like looking at other people hike, how far they can go in their distance than they're normally, if that makes sense, than they're normally used to.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, think of your heel as a blocker. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, well, here's where I'm going to stop. No. The waterfall. You can hear the waterfall. Okay. Yeah. Let's go see it.
Yeah.
I didn't drive 3 hours just to see trees that I could see in my own backyard.
Agreed.
No, it's that feeling that I love so much where it's like I accomplished something and I'm seeing the beauty of it.
And you definitely get that.
And I love it.
Which is why, you know, whenever a hike is like suggested, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. I know I'm going to hate it. I know I'm not going to be happy.
I'm glad.
But I feel better every time after I do it. And it's always something really pretty at the end of the rainbow. So like, she does, as annoying as it is, she does push me and inspire me, especially with the workout and the whole body thing. Because
you're worthy of how you look.
So I spent 2 years fixing my noggin, and I'm still processing that. Mm-hmm. Therapy.
Yes.
Check it out.
Yeah.
For sure.
I, you know, spent a while trying to unpack all the mental stuff. So the body is like, I'm getting on that now. That's where I'm at now. So like,
and I think with therapy, for me, in the, I didn't hear Black people doing therapy.
Yeah.
Minorities in general, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because it will, say for
don't
example.
Don't go to therapy, go to Jesus.
Oh my God. And that's what they'll say to you. Like if I suggested like therapy to my mom or an older generation, they'd be like, therapy?
Are you crazy?
And that's
why.
And for somebody who can't find their self-worthiness, they may need somebody else.
Yeah.
And they don't know that therapy is it's there for them.
For sure.
They think it's a shame or it's not something my culture does. No. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
There are Black therapists.
Amen. I have one and I love her.
And she's helping you, isn't she?
She is. She definitely is.
And I just think that a lot of people need to know that you don't have to do it by yourself. Not alone, because that's how you're not going to fix yourself.
I agree.
I can tell you right now, if I try to like think of anything mentally wise about myself or how positive I can be around people, I would have never known.
I think it's sometimes you just need objectivity. You need somebody who is definitely looking at your life as a whole and from a view where they don't know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And therapy, or at least what my therapist has worked with me on, is using tools. So
teaching you something that you didn't know how to use.
Right. Yeah. So when you're getting frustrated, or, you know, what she tells me to do, like, if I'm getting frustrated, take a breath, take a beat, think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I run.
Like,
okay, I like that.
I've gotten into that now because I have to like work through it. Otherwise, I'm just going to spiral in my head. Mm. And running gets you out of it. Get your heart pumping and you like cool down. You're like, okay.
Is it the like the pain, or not even the pain, but like that tingliness feeling that you feel when you're running?
Yeah, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
It clears your mind and it focuses you more on your body and your present moment and like getting out of that anxiety spiral in your head. I found that helped.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
I don't run. I can't. I don't. And no. I learned from a very... pretty much since puberty hit, that's when Chelsea stopped on the running train. It's just not
painful.
I'm dead serious.
Painful.
It's painful to run. I can do a little jog, you know, but like a full on, you want me to cross country? No, ma'am.
Just one quick sprint.
I doubt that I have the support.
So one of the things that my therapist told me to do, because my biggest thing is I get in my head and I can't come back to reality, like I can't refocus in the present. And so the exercise he told me to do was, okay, cool. When it happened, he was like, okay, close your eyes. I was like, hold up, nope, I don't like this one already. So there is that one. That's okay. What I'm gonna tell you. The other one's the one I'm gonna tell you. So okay. You can keep your eyes open. So you will go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Find 5 yellow things in the room. Now you have to find 5 yellow things. 4, find 4 blue things. Now you have to find 4 blue things. So it focuses your mind on doing a different task. And that so far has been the most helpful thing ever. Because it's for me, it's random spurs of like getting caught in my head. And then something I always have around me are things and stuff. So usually even if I'm at home, I can either find a color or something or other.
Right.
So that was one of the things I think helps me with it.
That is pretty dope. I would have never
thought
that's
about
interesting.
It. That's why you guys should go to therapy always. Even if you don't think you need it, you may need it.
So I agree. Especially the year that everybody's had last year.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need some...
For the last 4 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we need collective therapy for everybody. I think everybody needs, because I feel like I was having this conversation earlier, certain things in your life shift everything. And I think that this pandemic is one of them things that not only did it shift everything, it's one of those things that shifted entire generation.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Will forever be remembered by this generation, just like 9/11. You know, our parents remember exactly where they were when it hit. You know. And I think it's going to be one of those things of like, Where were you when you found out?
Quarantine.
Yeah.
It's been a year. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that career-wise I've learned is that now that I sat back and had to adjust to all the things that were happening, so the different things, like depending if you were working still, like if you're an essential worker, so you still had to go to work, your process changed. And me, I'm not essential. So now I'm all remote. So now my abilities have changed and how I handle this changed. And now I have to realize and sit back to put my self-worth in. I'm worthy of more pay.
I have
the ability and the capability and the degree and this and that. And yet, I'm not making enough to live on my own.
There it is.
The collective.
But are we ready for that discussion here in this country? We're working on. But that's the kind of thing, right? So we think about our relationships in our personal life, but even in our career paths, we literally have to always fight to get paid what we're worth, and then we always undercut ourselves. So like statistically, women will never ask for a raise, or if they do, they never ask for what they're worth. They always undercut themselves on it.
Self-worth for me and career-wise, I was making decisions based on what I thought other people would think that I was good at doing.
Okay.
It was so ridiculous. And because I didn't have that worth within me, the big dream that I had, the big goals that I had that really brought me joy, I would never, ever think to do that thing because, well, I probably should go to college and get the degree and then go to this job that I really don't want, and then probably get married or something and have kids, maybe. And that was sort of the spiral. I was like, well, I like psychology, I guess. And I was like pretty interested in it, but those classes, all of it, none of it fulfilled me. Mm-hmm. It never brought me joy. It never brought me like that self-worth that I was looking for in regards to career. You know what I'm saying?
And that's important.
And I, exactly. And then I was looking at pharmacy. I was like, well, because I had to make more money. I guess, you know, that's important. Kind of. And none of this was rational. I mean, it could be considered rational thinking, but it wasn't for me. It wasn't going to bring me any sort of fulfillment. So having and shifting your self-worth made me feel comfortable chasing that big dream or achieving that big dream or even thinking I could get that big dream.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think that's a very different generational thing because our generation has so much debt anyway that we have to plan to get our dream job because we want to be happy making our money because we ain't going to be making enough anyway. Whereas previous generations are like, oh, I have to go to work and make money because you're going to at least be making money to live.
They'll settle.
They'll settle.
Yeah.
But we can't have that.
Yeah. No. Like, I've had someone say, like, my generation is quick to leave a job or something like that. And I said, we are. We're not going to get stuck in something for little pay and be unhappy.
I agree. Like, you're not going to underpay me and make me miserable. Right. Pick a struggle.
We know our worth. We know our worth.
Pick a struggle.
And we definitely have shown that with not only just working a 9-to-5 job, but like doing things on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can have fun putting makeup on or doing my hair or even just crafting. Mm-hmm. I can have fun doing what you would call a hobby, get paid for it, and I'm at my home living my best life. Yeah. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm content.
And
you know what I'm saying?
Side note, depending on how much and how big you get, you're making more money than the people who did go the traditional route, who did get their degrees and who are plotting for the dream job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so I make YouTube videos painting my face and
telling stories.
I have $3 million. I have a $3 million house. How are you looking over there with your 4-year degree?
Right.
Yeah, no.
And it's like
how I feel right now, guys.
I mean, but that's a real thing, you know. I think career wise for me, so mine kind of tied into everything relationship wise and things like that. So I didn't fully believe in myself, like.
Career-wise,
I did it. You know, not so much that I couldn't do it, but that I was signing up for a life of misery in a financial way.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dream job, and it's, you know, a small dream in comparison to a lot of people's, but for me, I've always wanted to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I'm gonna be a teacher, I am signing up for financial suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't fully justify going full time to school, taking out student loans to do it, and being like, once I did all the calculations, it was like, yo, I'd be like 50 still paying student loans because teachers don't make crap in this country. So is it worth me going into that much debt?
No.
I don't know. And so that's where my career path came in. And then it just became like taking jobs to survive. But even at this point, it's like,
are we really surviving?
Are we really surviving? Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also my biggest one, and one that I'm currently still working on because I'm not very good at it, but speaking up at work.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know if this is just in my generation, but my mother basically was like, you get a job, you work hard, you say yes ma'am, no ma'am, and that's how you maneuver up this metaphorical ladder, right?
That's what we're taught as cattle, basically.
Yes.
To do.
Yes. Yes. And in a lot of jobs, I was just, you know, handed garbage and been like, okay, and I'm gonna try to turn this garbage into a masterpiece.
Right.
And it's like, okay, but you're not even paying me enough to turn this garbage into a masterpiece. So I'm going to leave you garbage too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like you said, it is a generational thing because, I mean, most of the disagreements and arguments that I have with my mom based on, like, work stuff is how we do carry ourselves because then if you speak out, you're not a good worker. You're a problem. Exactly. You can lose your job. Exactly. Like, so then it's like you have to play this weird, like, okay, do I take the abuse from my employment or do I speak up and kind of put it up in the air? A lot of people can't do that. Mm-mm. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to live? How are you going to feed your, like, kids? How are you going to eat? Like, how are you going to get gas for your car? Are you going to have a car? Like, there's just so much that rides on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even like career wise, my biggest thing is being able to find my voice. And it's difficult for me because I am a very direct person. Mm-hmm. I don't do flowery language. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised in a home with flowery language. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a home of this is what I said. And that's what I meant. I'm not like there's no trickery behind my words. Like if I say something, no, that's what I meant. You know, I don't want anybody to take offense to what I'm saying, but I meant it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not good with flowery language. And so now I'm finding myself trying to balance my self-worth, knowing how to speak up for myself, while still making people feel comfortable. And that is a very hard tightrope that I am not an expert on walking because... And so because I know I'm not an expert, my default is just swallow. And just be like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm personally working on currently and with carrying my self-worth into the career.
Most definitely. I think that's such a common thing we see too. And I think it's like, how do we navigate that, right? So how do you know what... Okay, I'm going to ask you, Chelsea. Yeah. What is the limit for you to swallow? That sounds weird.
No.
only you made it sound weird.
Okay. So I don't know the exact limit, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I do know that once I reach the limit,
it's done.
There's no filter because I don't care anymore. Because I'm a person who has no problem with silently putting in effort. Mm-hmm. But there's only so long that I'm a silently put in effort. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to silently take subtle nudges, subtle jabs. Like, there's only so long I'm going to take it. And that's why I know I have to say a little bit at a time. And I know I have to speak my mind a little bit. Because if I get to the point where I'm fed up, baby, I'm losing this job. Because I'm going off. You know what I mean? I'm a person, I have bullet points in my head at all times of like, here's some more BS. Okay, we're going to file that on the list, you know. And so I'm assuming at some point, like it always does, I will reach my limit. And I don't want to do that, especially not in a way that I have done it in the past where I do swallow and so I'm like, you know what, F you and this BS job, you can suck my you know.
I think I'm still also growing that way too.
And then you know, a sassy black woman, you're gonna see an angry one coming at you tenfold. Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't really know how to answer that question. I don't know how much I can take.
It's just knowing, again, you're worth in that time of like, when you bottle up emotion, like she said, it's going to like burst out into this big thing, which is not good. Mm-mm. And then they always come back to you where, well, you should have said it. Mm-hmm. Again, you may not know the time, but like, it's understanding when to say it. So like, if something is making you uncomfortable, even if you have to pull that person aside, because also knowing when to do it and how to do it is the thought of it. But pull that person aside and be like, hey, you made me feel this way, or I feel this way, however, and that would break down that whole bottling up that emotion. And I feel like our generation is quick to say our opinion on something, whether that's in person or online, but we are going to express how we feel that situation.
That's what y'all are for. I just been to my friends and I come home and be like, well, you know what?
But not even to friends. Like, I can say something to somebody and I'll be like, it will first come to me as a shock and I'll be like, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of think about what they just said. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
Here's what you're not going to talk to me as. I'm lower than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we get paid the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the same job title at the current moment. Okay?
Fair.
But it's true. You have to put that person in their place.
Yeah.
And that's where we come to boundaries.
Yes.
I think. Yeah, and I think it's important to know that a lot of times I think it happens either if it's a somebody that's on your same level, you could probably handle it better than somebody Agreed. That's your boss, right? But what I got to say about that is even if it is your boss, there has to be a level of respect.
Respect.
There, period.
Because there's someone over that person.
Amen. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And they think that power, they have that tiny bit of power and it goes to their head and they try to downgrade everybody else.
And what I will say is if you are a leader, then you need to be prepared to be checked by your workers. You need to be prepared to have these difficult conversations and even be yelled at by these people, because that's honestly a part of your job.
And part of your job is also sparsing out, okay, where is the emotion and where is these are the actual problems.
Yeah.
When you sit down and you have a genuine conversation with someone that you work with, even if they're not, you know, even if they're under you, a lot more gets done.
Yeah.
People tend to see eye to eye because I'm coming to you with respect. You can sit down with me with respect. And then we can get to the bottom of this and move forward.
But I will say a lot of leaders use that as an excuse. They're like, oh, don't come at me yelling. Now I'm not listening to you because you're yelling at me. So, you know, come to me when you cool down and we can make something happen. That I see a lot in our generation.
And I think maybe it's because I'm a bottler. And so I know what it is to explode and just say a bunch
and
of stuff.
And you care.
I do. I do care for especially the people. Look, if I work with you every day, it's going to be very difficult. Even if I don't like you, it's going to be hard for me not to care about you. Mm-hmm. I might not like you. You might not be a person that I would talk to outside of this job, but I still care about you. I want good things for you. I want you, once you leave this job or any job, I want you to thrive. I want you to reach your goals. And I do. I want that for every single person. So I do genuinely care, even if I don't like yours.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I just want to say this all comes down to self-worth, and self-worth can be like your essence, your soul, your words, your time, anything that involves you as a being is all based on that.
And it should all be valued. You should value it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's going to take time though.
It is.
You know, if nothing happens overnight. So
I definitely encourage all people to do the work. You know, it won't be pretty.
Take at least one thing.
Yes.
One of us has said, whether that's writing it down, whether that's doing the 5-4-3-2-1 method. I'm definitely going to take that and try it out. Or whether it's just taking a breath. I would definitely say try one of those. See what works.
Yep.
And run with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And grow from there.
Yeah. And also knowing the cost of your time. So, like, if you need to exercise and be like, you know what? I need to know my worth. How much time? So take an hour of your day. How much time in that hour of your day do you need to make a living? To live? That can be the cost of your time. You know what I'm saying? So when you have these instances, like either at work, if you're trying to get paid more, or even if you have the type of personality that I do where you give too much of your time to everybody else and you don't give yourself that time, you need to start charging.
Or giving yourself that time. I mean, separate from work or career.
Yeah.
Like spending time with yourself, giving yourself energy, giving yourself time with you. And then you walk into the world expecting that too.
I agree.
Definitely.
And this even applies to you mamas out there.
Hey, yes.
Who are at home with your kids, who are doing this online learning. If some of y'all are doing the online learning, I know that is very, very difficult. Take a breather. Take a moment. You know, even if it's, you know, a moment in the bathroom, run yourself a bubble bath. You know what I mean? Put the kids to bed a little early. Give yourself a nice time to run a bubble bath, chill for a second. Take some time where you're not putting yourself out for everyone else and turn that within yourself. Like,
that's so fine.
It will not kill your family
no.
for an hour. If mommy puts herself first.
And I'm definitely curious as to see how everybody else handles their self-worth. Because after today's episode, I'm definitely learning different ways. So if you have a different way of self-worthiness or knowing your self-worth, let us know. Slide in our DMs. Mm-hmm. I love a good slide. But yeah, slide in our DMs, either on Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook. We're all on Melanin Speaking Podcast, and we'll definitely love to hear what you have to say, because I'm gonna try it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try what you're doing, because maybe what you're doing will help me in the long run or help someone else. So definitely let us know.
Yeah, and get into the comments and talk to each other. Help each other out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Engage. Be kind.
Yeah, I love engage. A good conversation.
And be kind to one another. Mm-hmm. Like, every single person walking this earth
is struggling.
Is a struggle somewhere. Everyone's
somebody is struggling.
You know? So for sure. Put out some kindness, and hopefully you'll get some back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much, friends, for listening to episode 3 of Woo-hoo! Melanin Speaking. Woo-hoo! I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, follow, and share Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And if you don't have either one of those, you can email us at melaninspeaking4@gmail.com.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye. Bye.